Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your words in Luke chapter 5, chapter 6, I should say, which is the Sermon on the Mount, just like we have in Matthew 5 and 6. Lord, I thank you for your words through St. Paul to the people in the southern part of Asia Minor, in the area of Galatia, as you taught, as you gave word to him, as you gave revelation to him, so that he, by the power of the Holy Spirit, may write to them the word that we share today. Lord, help us, as we so easily, as Paul was astonished, we so easily listen to things that are not true. We so easily are deceived by Satan. We are so easily deceived by the world around us. We are so easily deceived into hearing, believing, and experiencing things that are not true. And Lord, we start this series on your esteem, not self-esteem, but God esteem, how you see us and how you want us to see ourselves. Lord, help us as we hear your word today to understand as the centurion did, who had great faith. Even though he wasn't a son of Israel, he understood that before you, he is unworthy, even though to the world, he's worthy. And Lord, may we have an understanding of who we are as children of God and what it means to look in the mirror and to see our sin before you, but to see how worthy and loved and worthy of respect we are because of who we are in you. So Lord Jesus, speak to us through your word, we pray. Do not allow Satan to interfere in any way, shape, or form with what we're about to hear, Lord. Again, we already did this once, but we do it again. We bind him in Jesus' name and cast him out of here and ask, oh Lord, that you put a hedge of protection around us and open our hearts and minds so that we may hear your word that's a double-edged sword and may it touch our hearts and it may indeed change our lives as we study this book of Galatians. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are amazing. You are awesome. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. You are loved. You are blessed. You are gifted. You are saved. You are healed. You are forgiven. You are set free. You are amazing. How many of us have a hard time believing what I just said? I grew up in the Lutheran church, as you might have guessed, since I'm here as a Lutheran pastor, but it doesn't always necessarily happen that way. But I grew up in a church where I was taught that there's three purposes of the law, and everything that we do has law and gospel. And I was brought up in a church where we were taught the three purposes of the law. Remember the first purpose of the law? What's the first purpose of the law? For those of you who remember your confirmation? No. First purpose of the law is the curb. Remember? It keeps everything in place. The society has to have curbs. Otherwise, people that are walking get hit. There has to be lights and signs and different things to keep society from breaking down. There has to be rules. And the rules are written on the hearts of men, the Bible says in the Psalms and in Romans, the law of God is written on the hearts of men, and we know it's not right to steal, and we know it's not right to murder. We know these things. Because even in societies where it's kind of okay, people still blush when they do it, or they remember it. Okay? We know the law of God is written on the hearts of men, and we know that the curb is necessary for society to function. There has to be You know, and that's why the law is so important. Now, the next one, you already said it. The second purpose of the law is what? The mirror. So for me growing up, the mirror was always a negative, because when you looked in the mirror, what was the purpose of the mirror? Is to show us how we are before God. When we approach the throne of the mighty, holy, amazing God who created the universe with simply His Word, when we approach the throne of in the Holy of Holies, how are we to approach? With fear and trembling, because we're before an awesome and all-powerful God who knows everything and is everywhere. And so when we looked at when we talk about the mirror, as Lutheran Christians, we talked about the fact that it was to show us our sin, to convict us of our sin, to help us to see what things we should confess, so that we never come to Jesus as the young guy with all the money did, remember in the Bible? And he came to Jesus, and Jesus said, you know, this is what you should do. And he says, I've done it ever since my, ever since I was born, practically. I've kept all these laws throughout my whole life. And he says, then what should I do? And he says, well, go give everything you have to the poor. That was a little bit too much. But what's amazing is the mirror of the law was not meant only to convict us of our sin, but it's also, I believe, meant to direct us to the mercy and the love and the grace and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that as soon as we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We shouldn't stop with the mirror. The third use of the law, by the way, we won't be discussing that today, but the third use of the law is what? A guide. A guide for how we should live as God's people. A guide for how we should live among the body or the family of God. That's the third use of the law, ruler or guide. I learned it as a ruler, because if you were going to draw a straight line from where you are to where you should be, what do you use? A straight edge, a ruler. So that's what I learned it as, but a guide. So today, I want you to understand that all those things I said at the beginning of the service are true, or beginning of the sermon, are true, because the Word of God, which has stood the test of time, which is the true and inerrant and infallible Word of God, says it's true, because it reflects the heart of the God who made us, right? It reflects the heart of a God who loved us so much that He sent His Son into the world to live in the world, to die in the world for our sin. Do you understand that we, when God, there's a difference between us and the mirror, which is really supposed to be our attitude or our posture or our way of thinking when we approach God, before God. And that's okay, because shouldn't we have that? That's why I picked the text about the centurion, because you notice that everybody in the world thinks highly of the centurion. Even the Jewish leaders, who never really thought highly of any Gentile, especially one who ruled over them, like the Romans, thought worthy of him. Why? He built them a synagogue. He did good things for them. And so they said to him, they said to Jesus, who they really didn't have much respect for, even though he just taught in Luke his Sermon on the Mount. We have the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew in 5, 6, and 7, and now we have in Luke chapter 6. And so this is right after that. It's in chapter 7. And it's amazing, because they come to him, who they really don't have much respect for, this Jesus who's teaching them stuff that's making them uncomfortable, and they say, you should do this for him because he is worthy of it. They saw him as worthy. And yet he understood, didn't he? As Jesus goes towards his house, what does the messenger come and tell him? Yeah, I'm unworthy to have you under my roof, and I am unworthy to even come and meet you. Because he understood that there's a difference between how we are viewed in Christ, in the world, as his people, and how we view ourselves when we are before God. And what is bothering me, and what is in my, what causes me to weep when I pray for the people of God today, is the fact that people are believing the junk that Satan and the world are selling out there when it comes to our identity. It bothers me. It causes me great pain and anxiety, and I shouldn't be anxious about anything, right? But it does cause me to take time to pray when I think about our young people being affected, because I'll tell you something. When I moved here about a year and a half after I got to St. Luke, I heard about a young lady who was a beautiful young lady who started attending our church because she was friends with a young lady named Joanne, who brought her to church. And she was struggling with, she was as skinny as you could be, and yet she saw herself as fat. And she died because she couldn't get this image out of her mind. Because throughout her time in high school, she bought into what the world said. If you didn't look just like this, then there was something wrong with you. And she couldn't get let even though I prayed over her and the elders prayed over her and her parents and they sent her to Calgary, which is 4 hours away to get treatment and everything, she died because she could not let the Lord speak into her life more than the voices that she heard when she watched TV, when she heard other people talk, because somewhere along the line, someone told her that she's ugly, that she's fat, that she's not worthy, that she's not lovable, that she wasn't the person that we know God saw her as. And when I heard that she passed away, it bothered me for weeks, if not months. And just a couple weeks ago, it started bothering me again. And that's why I came in and I said, we've got to do a sermon series on identity. We got to talk to people about the fact that there's a difference between how we view ourselves before God and how we view ourselves in God. There's a distinct difference, is there not? When we approach the throne of Almighty God and we come on our knees humbly before Him, we, like the centurion, say, we are not worthy. But that's only before the Almighty God of the universe, who we know loves us, who we know fixed the problem by Christ's death on the cross and by His blood. That's who we kneel before and say we are unworthy. But brothers and sisters, we don't go any further than that. It stops there. Because there's a difference between us viewing ourselves before the God of the universe, who loves us with every part of His being, and how we go out into the world and what our attitude and posture is when we go out into the world. Because we do not allow the world or Satan to tell us this garbage. Because we are children of the Almighty God. We, our Father, has given us our identity, and it is amazing. There's nothing wrong with us in the sense of someone telling us, you know I got to lose weight. That's why I count points. I know that it's something, and I know it's going to take a long time because it took a few years on steroids to get me here. I know it's going to take a few years to get back. But that doesn't mean that I don't have value and I am not worthy. And when I look at myself, I shouldn't think to myself, God has made me, and He loves me, and there is nothing that the world or Satan can do that's going to change that in the eyes of God. Isn't that awesome? And I'll tell you something. We have got to change this in our lives, because we are, you know, when I'll never forget when I went into the military, I started out as a cadet. In a youth program. I was in Boy Scouts, and then I went over to the military side of things, and I was in cadets. And the hardest thing that they taught me was that when you marched or when you stood in line, you know, during on the drill parade square, you had to put your head up. I don't know if it was something in my family or what, but I always tended to walk with my head down, my eyes to the ground, make sure I didn't trip. Any of you ever do that? And, you know, I make eye contact with people, but by and large, I kept my eyes to the ground. I thought I could stay out of trouble that way. And I'll never forget when they said, you know, you don't need to watch your feet. Your mind can tell you which is your left and which is your right. I know it's hard for some people, but, you know, your mind can tell you. And my drill sergeant was really mean. I don't know any of you have had that experience. It was really mean because I always wanted to keep my eyes to the ground. I was marching in the parade in Royal Oak on Monday, and I caught myself doing it again. And I remember his words, keep your head up. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, when we walk out of here today, we have to have our heads up. Because we're children of God. You see, the Apostle Paul, he wrote to the people of Galatia, which is the southern part of Asia Minor. He wrote to them, and he starts out this letter, and it's so amazing because this is a letter to multiple churches. This is just not to one church. It's to multiple churches. It's like Ephesians. And he writes this letter. It's after his second missionary journey, so he's been through a whole bunch of experience. He knows what to say, and he realizes there's a bunch of Judaizers coming out of Jerusalem that are telling people that you are not worthy. As a Gentile, you have to become a Jew. You have to keep all the rules. You have to get circumcised. You have to do all this stuff, even though the Acts Council already remedied the situation in Acts 15 by saying you didn't have to. They are telling them that you're not really worthy until you do this, 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 and this. And I mean, they had something like 600 different things they had to do. And there's something about human nature that when you hear you're not worthy, when you hear that you're not significant, that you're not important, that you're not loved, what happens? It goes either one of two ways. You give into it and get depressed and think, I can't overcome this, or else you work harder. How many of us have a tendency to work harder? I'm going to make them love me. I tried that. Don't work. You know? Or else you can just say, well, I'm worthless. And both are lies, aren't they? And so what St. Paul does is he starts out this letter by saying he's an apostle, which to him was his identity. He was a disciple, which is a follower, and he was one who was sent. He was an ambassador. He was an apostle. Apostolos, a sent one. He represented the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was called personally by Jesus, and now he was going out and sharing the gospel that was given to him by Jesus in Revelation. Remember, that was the last verse that Nancy read there, verse 12 in Galatians 1. It says, it was not given to him by men, but by revelation. And he'll go on later, if you want to read it, if you look in your Bibles later, he'll go on to say, and I went to Jerusalem, and I talked to the apostles, and I got approved by them. He didn't just do this on his own, but he received the gospel from Jesus Christ himself. Because he was well-versed in knowing how unworthy he was, wasn't he? He's a Pharisee. He knew all of the laws. And he worked really hard to keep them. And it was Jesus who confronted him and said, you are not worthy by keeping the law. You are worthy because I died for you. He was confronted with the truth. And he goes so far in this letter, and that's why this letter is so important. We're going to study it over the next 5 weeks. This letter is so important because what does he say? He says, if anyone says anything to you, even an angel says anything to you that's different from the gospel that is preached, that we preach to you, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for you, and who saves you by grace through faith alone. If anyone, even an angel, says that, they be accursed. Isn't that amazing? Because if we hear an angel talking to us, how many of us would tend to believe him? Uh-huh. Yeah, he's a messenger. That's what an angel means. Angelus, messenger. If we hear a messenger, we're probably going to believe him. And he says, if the messenger says something that's contrary to the gospel, what are we to do? Number one, don't listen to him. Number two, certainly don't believe him. And number three, tell him he's cursed. Then he goes on, and if that wasn't enough, what do I always tell you when you hear something more than once in the Bible? Pay attention. Because if there's repetition, it means that something is really important. And so what does he do? Right after he says, if an angel preaches you a gospel that is contrary to what you're now being taught, he says, you know, it's astonishing to him that they're following after this stuff, because it's easy to think that if you work hard, it's going to get better. And if you just work more, you're going to be more acceptable and more worthy. And it's easy to fall into that because of our sinful human nature. The old Adam in us wants us to think that we could somehow earn God's respect and earn his love and earn his righteousness. And that's totally false. And so he says he's so astonished that people are following after this. And then he says if an angel tells you this that's contrary to the gospel that you've been preached, then he be accursed. And then what does he say? To make a point. He says if we or anyone else preaches a gospel to you that is contrary to what you heard at first, he will be accursed. I mean, you get the point here? That's how important this identity thing is, people. The fact that we are covenant people, that the Father has given us our identity in Christ Jesus. The fact that we are a kingdom people, that the King has given us his authority. That we walk in his authority. The fact that we belong to Jesus Christ And we believe, teach, and confess the truth that we are saved by grace through faith alone. Because that's what the Bible alone teaches. You see, it's so important that we get the right view in the mirror. And I'll tell you something. I'm going to close with this. We can't get there on our own. The only thing we can do successfully on our own is recognize our sin. I think we can do that successfully. I mean, we do rely on the Holy Spirit even to help us with that, but the law convicts us, doesn't it? How many of us know things we've done wrong? How many of us blush even when we think about those things years after the fact? That was a painful experience for me. As I was driving back from Dayton, I was down with Paul and his team down in Dayton for the Upwards leadership. It was awesome yesterday. And as I was driving home, I was praying about, Lord, what do you want me to share? And it was funny because all of a sudden, a whole bunch of things that I did that were really dumb in the past, all of a sudden came into my mind. I remember looking in the mirror and seeing my red face and thinking to myself, how could something I've been forgiven for so many times over so many years, and that Jesus as Savior and God has forgiven me and put into the sea and put up a no fishing sign, how can this still cause me to blush? Any of you have that experience? And the first thing that came into my mind was to fixate on it and say, boy, that was dumb. And then it was like the Holy Spirit said, what were you going to tell these people tomorrow? What were you going to tell them tomorrow? Smarten up. And all of a sudden, there was this peace of the Holy Spirit rushing over me, that grace like rain we sang about, you know, just flesh, just, it was amazing. Those things are forgiven. As far as God is concerned, those things are forgotten. As far as God is concerned, when we ask for forgiveness and receive the forgiveness of our sins, we start afresh. We are new creatures. We are redeemed, and we are not only justified, but we are on our way to sanctified, right? We are made holy by the blood of Christ. We are people worthy, not unworthy. So brothers and sisters, we're going to do this study, and I hope you listen carefully to the words that St. Paul has to share, so that at the end of it, you'll have the same attitude as that centurion. When we're before God, we recognize that we are unworthy. But in God, entheos, in God, when we're walking in God, when we're walking in His power, when we're walking in His authority, when we're living a life as children of the God of the universe, that we have our heads up high and we know we are worthy. You are worthy. You are loved. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. You are amazing. You are awesome. You are blessed. You are victorious. You are forgiven. And I'm not saying throw all the self-esteem books away, because there is value in that. But let's find our esteem where it belongs, and that's in God. Let's find our esteem in who we are and our identity as children of God. Let's find our esteem in who we are as kingdom people with the authority to go out and to let everyone know that we are worthy, not because of what we do, but because of what God has done and continues to do in us. Amen? May we be a people who hold our heads high, not relying on ourself, but walking in God and knowing because He is worthy, we are worthy. Because it's a plague out there. We listen to people talk and we listen to the news and we listen to all these things where we can get sucked in to the lies. And we need that protection. We need the Holy Spirit to envelop us, Hold us close and let us know who we are. Children of God, heirs of the kingdom, people who are worthy because we're in God, in Christ, disciples, apostles, people called, chosen, and sent.